Anyway, we are continuing in this morning's message. We have been in a series in the book of Romans. As you know, Paul has been writing to the Christians in Rome. He is trying to share with them some of their problems that they have been experiencing. Overall, they were pretty good people. They were doing a lot of, wow, it just got really bright over there. Not quite so bright. Dim that thing down just a little bit. It looks like there's a train coming. But Paul was talking to the, writing to the Christians in Rome. And he was sharing with them how they had really messed up. They thought that they were wise, but in all actuality, Paul said they were professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. Paul was talking to them how they should be, how they can be saved and how they are truly justified and how that transaction takes place. He was trying to share with them how they should be out of control, giving control of their lives over to God. He was also sharing with them the blessings of being justified and the blessings of God's grace. We saw last week how everything will work out. And how in the long run, God is always going to prevail. So today we looked at life in 3D. Three-dimensional life. See, when you look at a picture, like I shared this morning, it has height and width, but it has no depth. And when you go to a 3D movie, they use cinematography with a split coherent beam, which allows them to have one in a red cast and another in a blue cast, and they offset them slightly, and then they give you glasses, one with a red lens and one with a blue lens, so that it crosses, and in that process, it gives your brain the illusion of depth. Even though it's on a flat screen, it gives your brain the illusion of depth. Well, God wants us to be individuals of depth. Now, this morning, I shared with you how Christians are to have depth in their life, which gives them balance. And that the people of this world that are without Christ, they really don't have depth. They only live in two dimensions, the past and the present, because they have no future. Now, what I meant by that is this. Yes, there is a future for those that are lost. And I was asked that question after the message, and that's fine. The lost do have a future. Their future is hell. It's an eternal place of torment, and that is their future. But I'm talking about a future that builds us up, a future that blesses us, a future that gives us depth. And in that light, the people of this world without Christ have no future because their only future is hell and eternity in a place of torment. So this morning we looked at life in 3D and we saw the first dimension was the dimension of has been. It's the dimension that gives us great confidence. It's the dimension that we will be energized to evangelism. It gives us compassion. Because of where we have been, we know now what someone else is going through. So it gives us compassion. It energizes us for evangelism. And because of that, the past really is beneficial for us if we learn from it. Now, notice, we were enemies and we were reconciled. Those things happened in the past. And the way we were reconciled is by His death. Now, that's what we looked at this morning. That was a single action as He went to the cross, He paid the penalty for our sin. And because of Him paying the penalty for our sin, now we don't have to pay that penalty. We are freed from the penalty of sin and from the bondage of sin. Secondly, this morning we also saw the second dimension of shall be, which is talking about the future. This is the dimension that truly gives us hope. It is the dimension that prepares us for future service. That hope and knowing the future, what is going to take place in the future, is what allows us to share our faith and to share what God has done in our lives when we were sinners, when we were reconciled by His death. And the way the future happens, we are reconciled by His life. Now that's what we looked at this morning. Whoops, one more. Hit one more. Yep, there we go. It makes us want to get ready for the party. Because I truly believe there is going to be a great fellowship. Now, many of us like potlucks on Sunday. Amen? It's fun to fellowship with everybody. I like eating other people's food. As you can tell. But it's going to be great to be able to celebrate at the marriage and supper of the Lamb, and to partake of that and to be a part of what God is doing in eternity and be there with Jesus. There's a song that one of the singers in the Bill Gaither quartet sings, and where he just wants to see Jesus. I'll tell you what, that's what I want to see when I get to heaven. I want to see the one that gave His life for me. I want to see Him face to face. I want to look in His eyes. I want to embrace His hands in mine. But I think I'll be too busy bowing and kissing His feet. Jesus is the most important thing in our lives, or should be. And that's the dimension of hope, what takes place in the future. Well, tonight, we're going to look at the third dimension. And that is the dimension of are now, or is now. Look with me, please, at our main text. And I'm going to read 9, 10, and 11. I think I've got 9, 10, and 11. Nope, I just got 9 and 11. Okay. It says, much more than... Why would he say that so many times? Much more than, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The third dimension of our now is the dimension that gives us joy. It is the dimension that leads us to give. It is the dimension that brings us to a point of praise and adoration and worship. It is the dimension of right now, the present tense dimension in our lives. See, what good is a past? What good is having a future if it's not relevant in the present? Did you hear what I said? What good is it in the past if we have a past that we can rely upon and a future that we know is certain? But what good is it if it doesn't have relevance in the present? It has no bearing whatsoever on our lives. And see, those individuals that are Christians that only live in the past and only have a future, that have no present testimony of what God is doing in their lives, hear me, they're living beneath their privileges. They're living less than where God wants them to be. They are not experiencing all that life has to offer. They have no balance in their life because they only live in the past and in the future. They don't have anything current that God is doing in their lives. The first thing that I believe God wants us to see about this dimension, which is a present dimension is the fact that we boast in God. Notice that? The scripture said that we joy in God. That means that we should be boasting about what He has done, what He is doing, and what He will do in the future. We boast in God. It is having a current testimony. So let me ask you a question. What is God doing in your life? What difference is God making in your life today? What has He done in your life that changed your life so much that your life will never be the same? And He did that for you today. What has He done in your life today or yesterday or last week or last month? Why do we have to go back 5, 6, 8, 10, 12, 20 years to find that God did something in your life? That's not balance. That's not living life to the fullest. And see, God wants more than that in our lives. He wants us to be individuals that have balance in our lives, and that balance comes from a 3D life, having a past, having a present, and having a future. That's what He is desiring in each and every one of our lives. Now, notice what He said. We have now received the atonement. Look with me, please, in verses 9 and 10 once again. It says, much more than. Why does He say that? Being now, see the present tense, justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Much more. On a scale of 1 to 10. Much more means 10. Much more means that's as much as we could possibly get. The greatest gift that you can give your family is to have God working in your life today. Not yesterday. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of soterion. That's what that means. Soterion. It means being saved. It's an ongoing process. When the Samaritans had the Israelites behind the walls and they were dying because they didn't have any food, they were eating, hear me, it's gross, dove's dung. They were eating dove's dung. You know what dove's dung is? It's what remains after the dove flies away. We live on yesterday's dung of the Holy Spirit, because many times the Holy Spirit works in our life years ago, but He's not doing anything in our life today, and we live on that dove's dung of the Holy Spirit from yesteryear. God doesn't want us doing that. We are in a state of famine. And we're dying when we don't have something current. Much more than, He says, the greatest gift you can have is a current testimony of what God is doing in your life today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of soterion. Today is the only time that God can truly work in your life, because yesterday is already gone and tomorrow is not here yet. Today is the greatest dimension that we can possibly live in. But many Christians live in yesterday and tomorrow. And they don't have a current testimony of what God is doing in their life today. See, when we lose our confidence from the past, we lose today. When we lose our joy from the future, we lose today. Today diminishes. God wants us to have balanced lives. Lives that are different than the people of this world, so that when we go through a situation, when we go through a circumstance, and we are being tried by fire, we come out stronger. We come out more brilliant, more refined. See, that's what happens when gold passes through the fire. When we are tried and tested, and God is able to strengthen us to go through that problem, through that circumstance, through that situation, then people of this world see that there's something different about us. And it draws them to God. Because when they see something different about us, they come to us and say, what is there different? Why is it all of these things are happening in your life, but yet you have a peace that passes all human understanding? Why is that? And we are able to share what God is doing in our life. That's the greatest gift that we can give someone, is a current testimony of what God is doing, because no one can refute that in our lives. The way that happens is a day-by-day walk with Him. And that leads me to the third point. That God's grip on us is what keeps us safe. It's God's grip on us, not our grip on God. No, because when we have a grip on God, the moment problems come, we let go and we try to fix it ourselves. But God has a grip on us. Let me share with you how that works. Years ago, when Kathy and I lived in Neosho, we lived about 5 miles south of the church, and it was down a big valley, and there was a big, huge creek. And this creek would run pretty high when there'd been lots of rain. But most of the time, the creek was, you know, maybe a couple feet deep. Sometimes when it was dry, there was barely a trickle, and sometimes it would be altogether dry completely. Well, there was a big log, and I suppose it was, I don't know, it was big log. Big tree had fallen across the creek, and that was our footpath across the creek. And the boys and I would oftentimes go down to the creek, and we'd be hunting, or we'd just be going down there and exploring, you know, what boys are like. And, I mean, they like to taste the dirt and stuff like that. And you guys, it went right over your head when I said that. Well, Danielle wanted to go one time with us. It's like, no, this is all boys thing. You got to stay home. And she wanted to go with us. It's like, no. You need to stay home with Mom. That's where girls are supposed to be, is with Mom. She wanted to go with us. So, all right, fine. But you need to hang on to me. So, she'd hang on to my pants. And when we crossed the fence and got close to the creek, I took a hold of her hand. And the boys, they went ahead, and it had rained some, so I suppose the water was a couple feet deep. It's not as though something, if you fell off, that it'd sweep you away and we'd never see you again. It's not one of those things. But if you fell off, you'd certainly get wet, okay? It would be uncomfortable to walk back home. So, the boys have crossed the tree. And they're standing there waiting for Dad to bring Danielle across. And so I take a hold of Danielle's hand, and we're walking across the log. And it's like, just follow me, honey. She goes, I'm scared, Daddy. Just walk behind me.
I'm scared.
I've got you. There's nothing to be scared about. I got you right here. Okay? I got you right here. Nothing's going to happen to you.
But I'm scared.
You're going to quit saying you're scared. Okay? Or we're just going to stand here until you quit saying you're scared.
But I'm scared, Daddy.
There's nothing to be scared about because I've got a hold of your hand. Let me show you how this works. And I grabbed her and I took her out around like this. And she's now dangling over the creek. I said, see, Daddy's got you. Put her back down.
I'm scared.
I said, did I drop you when you were out there?
No.
Okay, well, I'm not going to let go of you either. Until we get to the other side, then I'll let go of you, okay? So just follow me. Are you scared?
No.
Are you telling me the truth? Big, long pause. All right, that's all right. Never mind. And we just kind of kept on going. But she followed me now. She wasn't pulling. And she was just fine. Because her daddy had a hold of her. That's the way we are to be. It's God's grip that keeps us safe. It's God's grip that leads us. And as He's leading us, we can truly trust Him because He wants what's best for us, or He wouldn't have sent Jesus to the cross of Calvary to die and pay the penalty for us. Oh, we have a current testimony if He's hanging on to your hand. You have a current testimony of what He's doing in your life today. That's why Paul said, much more than, it's the greatest thing that you can possibly give to yourself, to your family, to your church, is to have God actively working in your life. It's the greatest gift, much more than what has happened in the past, much more than what will happen in the future is when you take all of these things from the past and all these things from the future and it points to what He's doing in the present. That's the dimension that gives you joy, that allows you to give, and it moves you to give for His ministry. It moves you to praise and adoration of who He is because of what He's doing in our lives. That's why sometimes we struggle in worship, because He hasn't done anything in our life this week or last week or last month. And the words we are mouthing are empty. And our hearts are cold. Because He's not actively doing something in our lives. Paul is writing to the church at Rome. And he says, God wants to give you balance. And that balance comes from living a life in 3D. Living, knowing what He's done in the past, what He's going to do in the future, but having a present testimony of what He's doing. Let me show you how this works. He gives you the past. He gives you the future. And what we try to do is we try to balance everything in our life on the past and on the future. And as we try to balance everything from the past and the future, least little bit of problem comes and it starts to tip, and pretty soon our life is no longer in balance. But when we have a modern testimony, a current testimony, why, anything can happen, and it really, come on, stop it. It doesn't matter, it can tip, it can sway, it can twirl around, and it doesn't fall. Why? Because it's got balance. That's the difference that it makes. That's the difference between us and the people of this world. Because yes, their only future is a torment in a place called hell for an eternity. But that future does not give them any blessing or any depth. So all they've got is the past and the present. And they don't have a future that they can count on. That's why when they see us going through tragedy, going through trials and situations and circumstances, they see that God can give us a peace that passes all human understanding. And they want what we have. That's why Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is good for nothing but to be cast out and trod under the feet of men." Salt preserves. Salt makes you thirsty. Are you making your neighbors thirsty? Are you making the family members in your family that are not yet saved, are you making them thirsty by what God is currently doing in your life? Because if you are, then you are truly the salt of the earth. God wants us to have balance. We all need balance in our lives, because when we have balance in our lives, that comes from a life being lived in 3D. I pray that God is able to do something in all of our lives that will give us a current testimony that we can share on a daily basis. Write it down, what God is doing in your life. Write it down so that you can compare what you wrote a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, of what God was doing then in your life. It gives you a guidepost to look at and to follow. And when you write those things down, it's easier for you to see what God is doing and the direction that God is taking you. God wants us all to have balanced lives, and to have lives that truly have a current testimony and a value. That's why Paul said, "Much more than," on a scale of 1 to 10, that's the greatest thing that God can ever do in your life, is to give you a current testimony. And that's my prayer for you tonight. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you, Father, that you are so good, so great, so glorious, that you want to give us a current testimony of what you're doing in our lives. Father God, thank you for Paul's writing in the book of Romans. Thank you, Father, for what that means in our life, not just yesterday, but today. And Father God, we pray that you will begin to work in each and everyone's life as they yield their lives afresh to you each and every day. And we thank you now and praise you in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.